Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
Welcome to Tigers in 20 Off the Boards, a Go Tigers 247 audio podcast where we bring you breaking news and interviews with players, top recruits, coaches, and influencers from football and basketball across the city of Memphis and around the nation. Now, let's get to the episode. Welcome back to Go Tigers 247's Off the Boards. My name is Kenny Stubblefield, lead digital content creator for Go Tigers 247. And I got a guy that y'all have been waiting to hear from for a minute now. I got a guy on the show today that everybody's been asking me about. So here he is. We got him on. It's Asa Martin, running back for the University of Memphis Tigers. What's up, Asa?
What's up, man? How you doing? Glad you had me on finally. I appreciate that.
Man, I'm glad to have you on, man. I know people have been wanting to hear from you for a minute, bro. And I think you have been wanting to talk for a minute, man. You told me off the air a little something about your motivation, man, and where you're at. How are you feeling right now? Where are you at? I know you're in your fifth year here at the University of Memphis. You're in your fifth year. You're a senior at the University of Memphis. How are you feeling right now?
I'm feeling more motivated than ever right now. I mean, you go through and it didn't always go out how you planned, but that don't mean you just stop. You know, you just kind of just start blaming whatever. You just keep working, keep your head down, and you know God has a plan. So I'm feeling very motivated right now. I've been working my butt off the last couple months, and I'm just ready to go put it all together this season.
Well, and I noticed something immediately. What's the first thing I told you when you came on this call? Man, Asa, you got big, bro.
Yeah, I've gained a little weight. I've hit that hard. Like, my nutrition is one of the things I really hit this offseason. Just trying to make sure every day I'm getting all the stuff I need, getting all the calories I can take, putting protein in my body. So, I mean, it's been a huge part of my offseason plan this year.
Have you noticed a difference in your recoverability and the endurance that you've had over the spring and summer workouts so far? Have you noticed a difference since you put on?
I definitely have. The body's getting a lot stronger, you know, muscle wise, but just, I guess you could say, just endurance, stamina. I'm guessing you could say that's eating better. Everything's just, you know, just feeling a lot stronger, a lot. And I'm getting older too, so a lot wiser. It's a lot wiser.
You got that grown man body now, yeah, instead, yeah, of the 17, 18-year-old kid body,
exactly.
Right?
Yes, sir. Exactly.
No, I know, man. Like, let's take a step back away from just this year and talk about that. It's been a while since anybody's really been able to talk to you and kind of, you know, just hear your thoughts on things. And you know, I started covering the Tiger football team the year that you transferred to Memphis, and obviously you had to sit out that year due to the transfer situation. But your name kept coming up. Obviously, you were named Scout Team Player of the Year during your year off. I mean, everybody was like, man, watch out for this Asa Martin kid. And then I started kind of doing some research on you and realized, like, coming out of high school, you're number 9 in the country, running back prospect. I mean, there was a lot of heat behind you. Obviously, you went to Auburn, then went to Miami for a hot minute, and then came over here. Tell us about your journey, man. Like, it's been a wild ride for you, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been a wild ride, man. I mean, it hadn't always went how I planned, but like I say, in life, you know, it usually doesn't go that way. But, you know, that don't mean we just stop what we're doing and just, you know, make a bunch of excuses, just kind of keep going. And that's kind of what I've tried to do. Just, and it hasn't always been like the best decision making on my part. You know, I've been young and been in situations where maybe I should have made another decision. But I mean, like I say, you always keep going and just keep moving. But my journey, I mean, it's been a little rough. I mean, I wouldn't say rough, but it's just been like just here and there. And I mean, yes, I've done that. But it's just like just trying to find what fits Asa, what, you know, what's going to help me thrive the best, and, you know, where, I guess you say, where what place can take my game to the next level. And I really thought Memphis could do that. And my my decision to come here was solely based off really Darryl and Tony. I seen those guys went like third, fourth round, like back to back. I knew Coach Locke a little bit. I got on the phone with Coach Locke, and I'm like just trying to see what was the plan with those guys, and you know what went into that. And been history ever since. I just wanted to come and trust it, and you know, kind of be a part of that run by you thing that they have going on here, man.
I mean, it is like legitimate, like the national folks are saying, man, is Memphis the new running back U?
It is. I was saying this three years ago. It is.
So what did – you're 22 now, right?
Yes, sir.
22. So what would 22-year-old Asa Martin, if you could go back, knowing what you know now, all that you've experienced, all the lessons that you've learned over these last 4 years – if you could go and sit, you remember that LeBron James commercial where he's in the bedroom with his younger self. Yeah. If you could sit down with young Asa Martin at 17, 18 years old, coming out of high school, what would you say to Asa Martin?
I tell him don't get emotional. Don't make emotional decisions. Don't get ready for a wild ride. And so it's going to be tough. Like these last five have been really tough, and probably the next five are going to be really tough. But just, you know, you can't get emotional and take things personal. So that'd be the only, I feel like I had that problem early on with, and maybe that was because I was highly recruited and felt maybe a little entitled, but just, you know, you got to have that, still got to have the same, you know, kind of character as high school. And, you know, it's, I don't know, it's kind of hard. I ain't trying to like, go back for myself, but you know, everything happens for a reason. I'm still absolutely. Living with no regrets, so.
Absolutely. No regrets in all this, right? Like yeah. We all learn lessons and in the end, like it's just life, bro. Yeah. Like everything that has happened in your life, number one, is not on accident, and it's just life. Like this is just who we are and what we go through.
Yeah. I agree. After my freshman year, I was kind of, you know, down on myself a little bit. Everything went going I wanted to. My mom just kind of telling me, like, I guess, you know, it happens. It's life. It's, you know, all thing you can do is keep going forward and, you know, put my best foot forward every day. So that's kind of what I've been trying to do since.
Absolutely. And I think, I mean, obviously, when you came to Memphis, when you transferred to Memphis, obviously you had to sit out that 1 year. But from everybody's expectations and everybody that I was talking to, it was like, Asa's that next guy in running back U. Like, he's that guy. Mm-hmm. And you have had you have contributed at a high level here at the University of Memphis. But for you, as you've taken a step back and you've done inventory on your time even here to specifically at the University of Memphis, has your time here met your expectations? Like, have you... where are you at, like, in terms of kind of taking inventory on your time here? Are you happy? Are you disappointed? Like, where are you at with all that?
I wouldn't say I'm disappointed. You know, in this game, it's always, and at first I used to be very mad and like, if I didn't play, but it's like, every time you get out there and just get to play in a game, it should be a missed blessing. You're playing college football, making plays, that type of stuff. I mean, it has not – of course, you have your own expectations, but it hadn't really met my expectation. And, of course, I wanted to come in here and be the next guy right after Kenny. So, we'd be going right out. But, I mean, and I think, you know, like I say, everything happens for a reason. And my time just had came yet. So I'm, you know, praying I can just go put it all together and finally, you know, put together what I came to Memphis for. It was, you know, to show I'm one of those versatile backs, just like, you know, the rest of those guys that go do kind of the same thing in the NFL as well.
I am constantly in awe of watching guys like yourself. And from a distance, you know, I'm not in your meetings. I'm not in your, you know, in your position meetings. I'm not in the office. Like, I don't get to hang out with you on a daily basis. But I, just from an outsider's perspective, seeing the level of grind and the level of hard work that you guys put into your craft, and not just, I mean, dude, I fell out of school and college twice and I wasn't even a athlete. Like how do you guys, like, where does that grind and that determination to constantly work, constantly, and juggling all the things that you have to juggle, where does that come from?
I think it starts a lot at our parents, like from my parents, you know. Even if you're in two parent homes, they even grew up in a single home, like, it's, I know me, I've always seen my mom grind and work, and like, you know, just it was something to be done, something to, if it's not this, we're doing that. And you know what I'm saying? So it's just kind of like a, like, you know, you've seen your mom doing all for all her life, you know, all just kind of help and take care of you. So it's just like, you know, why would I not do the same? And I'm not working. I'm playing a little football, going to school, I'm going to take a couple classes. That ain't the hard job, you know. And of course, in my mind, it's not. So it's kind of, it's a tough task, you know. Got to have some time management. Got to, you know, stay on your stuff. But I mean, I think it just comes from seeing, you know, your people who raise you, you know, the values, of, you know, just how you were raised, honestly.
One of the things I love to understand about athletes is their why, like why they do the things that they do, why they keep grinding, why they, you know, hustle through, you know, all the setbacks, changes, you know, all towards meeting kind of an ultimate goal. I noticed on your Twitter the other day that you experienced that you've been kind of walking through the death of a really good friend of yours, and that's Alabama State linebacker Awesome Harris. And, man, I saw on your Twitter that you basically said, man, you're going to be with me forever. Everything I do, I'm going to continue to grind and work hard and all this kind of stuff and kind of do it in his honor. Does that kind of, the loss of a friend like Awesome, does it motivate you? Like, how do you handle those kinds of losses in your life and continue to push forward?
Well, this one's different because Austin's my little brother. It's not my friend. It's like my baby brother who, since forever, like I can ever remember, has been kind of right there. It's always been me, him, my mom. So the three of us, we all, you know, she raised me and him. Our dads weren't involved, but, you know, it's just kind of like living together. It's us three. So I mean, that's kind of
awesome. Awesome is your brother.
Yes, sir. It's my baby brother.
Yeah. Oh my God, dude! I'm so sorry.
No, it's, you know, a lot of people don't really know. Like, we all, like, I never wanted to try to take like Ace's, like, as Awesome's big brother. Like, always wanted, you know, you have your own, you know, you have your own image and be your own man. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'll do the same. I never wanted to, like, kind of overshadow him or just, and just kind of wanted him to always have his own path as well. So, and he, the last couple of weeks, showed me, like, he really did that. He, you know, he's only 2 years behind me. So my senior year, when all the scouts and everything, all the stuff were coming around, you know, he never tried to, you know, you know what I'm saying? Just, he was just always him, always Awesome. Just never really, like, he's just a true, genuine guy. Like, he's always wanted to, you know, be himself. And so that definitely brings him. It's something I'm still dealing with, but it's like a, like I say, I'm more motivated than ever. I mean, it's kind of like a hard motivation to talk about. It's just kind of something like, you know what your mindset is set to do, and There's nothing in the world that won't let that mindset happen.
Well, Asa, man, I'm sorry that your family is dealing with that right now. Condolences to you and your mom. From us here at Go Tigers 247, man, I'm sorry. I did not know that Awesome was your younger brother.
Yeah. See, really, no one other than from being back at home, like, no one would even really know that we're brothers. And that's always kind of like fought, like, because I was always tough on him, but I wanted him to be his own man. Like, I didn't want, you know, he's Ace's little brother and all that. Like, I never really wanted that for my own to come be your own man and just, you know what I'm saying, create his own image. And that's exactly what he did. He done that.
Well, man, I know, like I said, condolences to you and your family, man.
Yes, sir.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived and feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
It has been clear, and you even mentioned it, you know, from the time you got here to Memphis, it was part of your recruitment here. You know, you saw Tony Pollard, you saw Daryl Henderson, and you're like, man, like, you know, I want to be a part of that. Like, those guys got to the league. Like, I want to be a part of whatever's in the water over there at Memphis when it comes to the running back room. But it's been clear for the entire time you've been there and coming into this year that the running back room has been a source of extreme depth for the Tigers. Like, there is a lot of pretty fantastic running backs that are in that running back room right now. And mm-hmm. and so how do you guys like, you got it's you, Marquavius, it's Drake, it's Brandon, it's Jay, it's all these guys, it's Andarius coming into the fold now. You got six dudes that could legitimately
play
at any given time. And I probably am missing a couple. How do you guys plan on, utilizing all that talent? Like, what? How are you going? How are you going to get the touches, Asa?
I pray Coach Kramsey has a night. You know, I just, you know, go do the work and trust that Coach Kramsey has a nice plan to, you know, put the team in the best position. But just as far as like all of us being in that room together, man, it's all competition. Like, it's like we really push each other, and it's not the competition where it's like we're all down each other's throats. It's kind of like more of a silent, like we're running sprints. Like, we us six know, like, you better not be last. Like, even though they're like, who's going to be last? You know what I'm saying? It's always like a – it's always just kind of like a – who not who's going to one-up the other, but just, you know, we're pushing each other. Like,
right.
If Drake, he's probably going to run his 100, 110 at maybe 16 seconds. I'm going to get in that 16 seconds too. You know what I'm saying? If we're in the weight room and, you know, we're – 70% and maybe it's 450 on, and you know what I'm saying? My weight may not be 450 on. I may want to go try four, do 450 if I see Brandon and Darius doing that. So it's just kind of like a, you know, we push each other, always make sure we get each other better, and we kind of hold that room to like the standard that it's supposed to be. We know what was said, you know, what those guys in front of us have done. So it's just kind of trying to uphold that and just, you know, keep that thing going, keep that tradition going.
I was talking to Brandon earlier in the month, and I asked him, I said, you think Coach Kramsey's got a set, a package in the offensive set where every single skill position is going to be filled by somebody from that running back room? he said, maybe.
Yeah, he definitely could. He could.
So let me ask you this. Have you ever come in last on the sprints?
I was not coming last. I ain't the fastest, but I ain't gonna come in last. So I ain't gonna come in last.
Who is the fastest in that running back room? If you had to take a guess, who do you think is the fastest?
It's probably gonna be surprising, but I think Coffee is the fastest guy in the room. Coffee is sneaky athletic. Fast. Like that dude is that dude is a freak. He's athletic.
I think everybody's really, you know, the Tigers have kind of. There have been a group of people that have made a lot of money playing on Sundays that have played that kind of Tony Pollard position. And I see Darius kind of fulfilling part of that role, but also you this year. Like, that's a role. There's something like, you know, you got big body backs like Marquavius and Drake, man. Like, that if you needed to line up and get 2-3 yards, man, they're going to get it for you any day of the, but they can also pop one and go. But then yourself, you're an extremely effective guy out of the slot, like out of the backfield into the flats and receiving the ball as well, which is something that, you know, the Tigers have always been extremely effective with that kind of a running back. You know, obviously Tony, Kenny Gainwell kind of revolutionized that position in his 1 year at the University of Memphis. Like, he was, what was he? He had 200 yards receiving, 200 yards running in one game. You know, like, how do you see yourself kind of?
Was that the 2-lane game Kenny did it?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was a 2-lane game.
That was probably the best. Like, just seeing a running back go do that. I'm like, oh my God. If Coach uses me like this next year, like, I'm like, oh my God. I remember it was like two plays back to back. He may have called one out of the backfield, then he went to the number one receiver and called like a hitch and took it to the crib.
He caught like a fade pattern. Yes, a back shoulder fade.
He did. Yes. He did catch a back shoulder fade. We worked that throw.
And we're
like
sitting here going,
day.
That's a running back, bro. Right. Like, yes. A running back should have. Let me ask you this. Like, how. What does it take to be that comfortable? And you've got really good hands for a running back. Are you like, you feel comfortable in those kinds of sets as well? Like, where you could run those kind of routes? Cause it's not just the catching the ball. It's the route running as well.
Yes. I feel like, and you know, of course, depending on who's like, if they bring their backer out or, you know, if they leave the corner out on you, I almost feel like I have an advantage at the slot position. I mean, I've played it a lot. I feel like my route running is pretty good. Of course, you know, I still love being in the backfield, but I feel like always, and this has always been me, if you put me one-on-one with a backer, especially in a lot of space, It's gonna be very good heart for that guy to win. So
that's what normally happens, right? Yeah. Like if you get lined up in the slot, most of the time a linebacker is coming over to run man on you, right?
Yes.
Is that like barbecue chicken for you when you see that?
It's like Sunday dinner at grandma's house. It's get ready to eat, bro. So
an extra helping of greens and barbecue chicken, man. It's going to be interesting. And I think that's what's going to be really interesting about the running back room this year is I do think that with the level of talent you guys have, and not just the talent, but the different kinds of skill sets that you guys have, y'all are going to be pushed to do a lot this year.
Yes. And I was freshman Sutton Smith came in, and man, he was just kind of talking. And he was like, he was asking about the role, like kind of the position that Tony played. And I was like, bro, like, as long as we go make plays, like, you know, they're going, because I guess kind of like last year, that position kind of, as far as a running back being there, kind of like went away from it a little bit. But I was just telling them, like, bro, as long as we go make plays and, you know, do what we're supposed to do, they had like that, they're going to put us in a position to make plays at that spot and in space versus backers and, you know, being in the slot and, kind of doing some of those things that Kenny did and Tony. So, you know, it's just about going to make plays. And I think it was Cramsey handled the rest of just putting us in position to make the plays.
What is that? How much has football changed in that regard, position wise? Like the fact that, you know, back in the day, like old school football, the running back was just lined up behind the quarterback and ran between the offensive line, would every once in a while kick out, like, you know, sweeps, you know, things like that. But I mean, the new age running back is required to, you got to be able to catch passes, and you got to be able to block, and you got to be able to run. You got to be able to do pretty much everything.
Yes. And that's I think the game has changed in a way, speaking of running back anyway, I think it kind of helps the little, like, and I'm a little guy, it helps the little guys. Like, If you're not what, 6'1", 245, or just like a way bigger back, like, it's not that, you know, back in the day is running so much power and just straight downhill gas. It's not the same anymore. It's a lot of, and I think that goes because the defense has changed. Most defenses are taking the back off the field, and they're now putting a DB or kind of like a small
exactly,
and that creates. That creates a little matchup for the running back, I think, because, I mean, you're putting one backer on to guard that guy, who's, I mean, essentially, depending on the back, he could be just as skilled as a receiver. So that, I mean, and I think that's why the NFL, like, and Tony and Kenny and those guys, that's why they really thrive, because of how the game is switched in the NFL. Like, it's a lot of one-on-one, who can win, and coming out of the backfield, you're just winning. So I think the game has changed for the running back, you know, in a very positive way.
Well, I mean, you look at it in the NFL, and if you want to take it strictly Memphis guys, you've got a guy like Antonio Gibson who came into college playing receiver, didn't play a down of running back until his junior year at the – no – his senior year at the University of Memphis, 6'2", 220, and now he's a full-time running back in the NFL. It's
the number one running back. That's crazy.
So you got him who's got the hands and the route running of a receiver with the ability to run the way he does, and then you add Deebo Samuel into that. Then you add all these different dudes who, like, receivers that are coming back. To me, it feels like football is – changing to where it is exploiting the matchups, right? Like, yes. Exploitation of matchups.
That's the name of the game now. Like, that is the name of the game. If you have a matchup and your guy's better, until they stop it, you should go to your guy.
Run it every time. Run it.
Kenny never – I mean, Tulane never stopped Kenny that when we played him. And he went to him. And,
right.
He literally exploited that matchup all night long. And I'm sure that was like in the game plan, but that's all. When in this is a piggyback off you saying talk about Deebo. when he had that little run last year, like,
yeah,
I'm like, keep going. You know, it's of course he probably don't want to be paid as a running back, but I still think you help the team more. I mean, if you can pay one guy to run and catch it, like, you're way more valuable to the team than, you know what I'm saying? Just,
yeah,
especially in talking NFL anyway. So it's, I love it.
I love the chess match that football brings to the table. Like the chess match that happens, like, you know, there's a chess match in basketball, and I understand the game of basketball in terms of strategy a lot better than I do football. Mm-hmm. But there is something about the strategy and the chess match with football that is just like, because you got 11 guys on one side, 11 guys on the other, and everybody's got to do their job. And if one person messes that job up, then that play is dead. And so it's finding those matchups. Man, I love it. So you mentioned Sutton Smith a few minutes ago. Kind of piggybacks up to the next question. Who are some of the young guys in the running back room that you've been impressed with so far this year?
I've been very impressed with Sutton. I mean, he came in as a guy, you know, he played at a really good high school. You know, they ran really good stuff. And his footwork is the biggest thing is making that transition to college, to high school is like, it's like the little stuff, like the footwork. It's like making a pocket, or is it running back anyway? Footwork, making a pocket. It's like those little things. And he really came in and already had some of those characteristics. Of course, we haven't gotten him pads or anything yet. So, you know, we'll see then. But I'm really impressed with Sutton, man. I think he's going to be able to make some plays. The guy is fast. Like, dude can roll. A young guy can roll. I've also been impressed with the new quarterback, J.C. French.
Yeah,
dude, I personally think like that guy is. I seen him sling it like three times in 707, and I'm like,
got a little cannon on him, doesn't
Oh,
he?
Oh yes, he does.
A little small body quarterback, but can throw that ball, huh?
Oh yes, yeah.
Have you had to catch a pass from Tevin yet?
I have. Yeah. he puts everything he got into it, bro. Like every.
That's what
every
I heard.
Every time,
you're like, chill. Hey, yes. Hey, chill, man.
Yes, yes. I know you remember that throw from the spring game.
Yeah.
When he's rolling out, okay, we're doing scramble drill. And like almost every time Tevin makes that same throw, he's going to like scroll roll out and, you know, just trying to on the run. And he makes it every time. But I mean, the first time ever doing it, he did that. I'm like, oh. He has a cannon too. Like this guy is a cannon. But,
he is a big dude, man.
Oh yeah,
he is a big guy.
Oh yes, dude. His upside is insane. Like just seeing him making his transition from the spring, early spring to the spring game, to even now, you know, he's in the playbook a lot more. Man, that dude's upside is insane. Like I think he'll be really good as well.
Yeah, yeah. That's what everybody's been telling us is if he could get the. If he can transition well to understanding the work ethic off the field,
mm-hmm.
the natural skill set of tossing the ball is there.
Yes,
like it's all, he's got it all.
Yep.
Yeah. So what are your expectations this year? I know, and not expectations in terms of wins and losses, but expectations in terms of the offense as a whole. One of the things that, I mean, the Memphis offense has been notoriously been one of the most high-octane offenses in college football for years and years. You've got a new offensive coordinator in Tim Kramsey. You've got a second year with Seth Hennigan, who came in as a freshman, and this rarely happens, but came in as a freshman and balled out, right? Like, showed this dude's got it. And then came in this year in the midst of a quarterback competition and said, this is my team, bro. Like, you're going to have to come in here and take it from me. And it was not taken from him.
He's
so
18-year-old freshman.
That's 18-year-old freshman. Right?
Yeah.
What are your expectations, man? Like, are you your expectations that offense will, even though the statistics were great last year, you think it's going to be raised up a little bit? You think it's going to be –
I definitely think it's going to be raised up a little bit. I mean, anytime you're taking second year or quarterback in that just learned a lot from his first year and was really good in his first year. I think like this year is it'll be even better. I mean, Seth, you know, it's even some of the, like he played really well last year, but it's just, I mean, he's still a freshman. So just him taking the him just learning from his freshman stuff and just bringing it on to year two, which already we've already seen him. I mean, he's breaking down defenses. He's at the facility all day. Like that guy's like, he's football. And I, when you're a quarterback, like I love that for my quarterback, you know, it's, and so for him to just, you know, come in year two and just take that next step, I think it'll take us wherever, honestly. It'll definitely be a lot of improvement. I think offensive, it'll get right back to that, what you've been used to seeing in Memphis offense. So I think that rises a lot, not to put a lot of pressure on Seth, but there is a little pressure on him.
Well, he wants that pressure, right?
Exactly.
Like, yeah. Just like yourself. You want that pressure. You're like, you don't shy away from that stuff.
No.
That's what makes y'all different, man. That's what makes high-level Division I athletes different from anybody else, is that pressure doesn't make you fold.
Yep, I agree. It's kind of something you've been dealing with. It's like, can you do it or not? And you're thinking of yourself, and you're like, I know I can do it. And that's kind of just that confidence. And that's what Seth kind of showed me a lot. Like, him being a freshman and having that much confidence, I'm like, sometimes we're out on the field together, and I'm like, bro, you are bad. You know what I'm saying? Just like, you are. he really impressed me, bro. Like that. So, this dude's gonna be. He's legit. The guy's legit.
I asked Ryan Silverfield this question, but did you notice coming back into this year, Seth kind of have a little bit of a swag to him that he didn't have last year?
I always thought Seth had swag. I'm not gonna not saying he didn't have, but like, just kind of how he carries. I always thought that was his like swag. Like I noticed that early on, like when he first got here, like he has his own persona. Like he's not a follower. He's not gonna like, he has his own, has a brain for himself. Like and like that on his own, but his swag did to kind of up a little bit coming back. It did. You can tell he's like a little calmer. Like he's just, you know, probably ain't just worried too worried, but you know, he's still working. Just trying to be a better player every day. So
being confident in yourself is like, doesn't mean that everybody has to look the same. It means that you're confident in what you do. And who you are.
Yes. And that is it.
I saw a video of him last year where he was wearing like some t-shirt that had like, it was some like little nerdy video game t-shirt.
Yeah,
and he was unapologetic, yeah, bro. Like,
that's him.
This is me.
Yeah, that is him. That is him. He's been that way since he first stepped on campus. Like that's been Seth.
And I'm not changing, is what he's saying. I'm gonna be that guy.
He's not.
All right, I got a couple more questions for you before I let you get out of here. I was actually talking to Jacob Likes a few weeks ago, and he brought up this idea, and then he shared a couple of stories about his welcome to Memphis moment, where he realized, as a freshman coming in, that college football was different, that it was just different than what he had experienced. And he mentioned specifically he lined up on the offensive line in practice against Bryce Huff. As a freshman, Bryce Huff was a fifth-year senior. Bryce Huff is now a starting, I think he's playing for the Jets, starting defensive lineman for the Jets. And he talked about how he had to go up against him in practice and just the craziness of that situation. I know you didn't start your college career at Memphis, but did you have what was Asa Martin's welcome to college moment where you realized, oh my God.
Okay. Okay. It's probably like, maybe been the first week of training camp where I'm at Auburn, and I'm running like second team. So where ones are going against the twos, and it may be doing tempo, and I'm going against Derrick Brown is the one nose guard, and I'm the two running back. And I don't know who the center was, but we called inside zone. It's inside zone going left. And like soon as this is like tempo. So we may have ran a play before that, and then we're lining up to go to the next play. And I mean, before I could even get the handoff, like Derek is through the center into me, and he's tackling both of us. Yeah, so that was my, like, and, like, with the power, he still came with trying to tackle both guys. Like, the other guy was 300 pounds, too.
I mean, it's a nose guard.
Say it again.
He's a nose guard, 300 pounds.
Exactly.
300 pounder.
And that's, I mean, Derek, that's why Derek was top 10 pick. So, well, that was probably my.
Did you ever see that video? And I still watch it when Jadeveon Clowney.
Yeah.
Was that against Notre Dame? Or was it Michigan? It was Michigan.
Yeah, it was Michigan. It was Michigan. Yeah.
Michigan versus South Carolina. Wow. Was it that kind of a play?
He didn't hit me as hard as he did then, but it was almost exactly like that. Yes. Yes. Oh, like, he literally, like, he's tackling both of us going down. And he's talking a lot of stuff and called me a little freshman and all that. But that was probably my welcome to college moment. Like,
It's a different game out here now.
Oh, yeah.
All right. If you, let's do this. Here's some fan questions for you. Fans want to get to know a little bit about Asa Martin. What's your favorite place to eat in the city of Memphis?
Let's see. It's a lot.
How'd you get that extra 11 pounds on you this offseason?
I'm a big fan of Gus's chicken, Gus fried chicken. I love
You like the hot heat?
I'm not a fan of hot spicy thing. I just like the regular season. Yeah. I'm not really a fan of spice.
Gus has got that little fire to it, man.
It does. Another restaurant, Soulfish. I love Soulfish.
Ooh. Soulfish
is like, I get the catfish. I like the chicken tenders as well, but man, they cater chicken tenders too at practice. But I love the catfish.
If you get a chance to go to the restaurant, check out their Memphis Po' Boy. Oh my gosh! Okay. Man, the sandwich with the pork. Oh,
okay,
man. Coleslaw on it, man. Oh my god! Yeah.
Yeah.
Soulfish is awesome.
I recently tried a new restaurant, Hog Wild. Only got some nachos from there a couple of days ago. My girlfriend told me about it. That was very impressive. I'm not gonna lie. Hog Wild was very impressive.
Yeah, Hog Wild is good. All right, this question has stumped people, but I've gotten some really good answers too. So I'm excited to hear yours. If you could only watch one movie and listen to one album for the rest of your life, what would it be?
One movie. My one movie would probably be Friday Night Lights. It'd probably be Friday Night Lights. I could watch
the movie. The movie or the television series?
The movie.
Yeah, the movie came out before the television series, right? That's the one with Billy Bob Thornton and all that. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I could watch that all day, every day. One album, let's see. Probably Lil Wayne, the Carter Five. Like, that's, you can't. I don't think you go wrong with Lil Wayne.
No,
I don't think so.
Where do you put him in the pantheon of rappers? Where do you? Who's your top five? If you had to name out a top five that you listen to, who would it be?
I'll go in no specific order.
I got you.
I'll go Jay-Z, Lil Wayne. I'm an NBA YoungBoy fan, so I have to throw him in there.
Yep.
Tupac and Biggie is top five.
You think too? So, do you listen to Tupac and Biggie still?
I a little bit. Like, every, you know, a song will come on every now and then, but it's more of just on the culture influence of why.
I got you.
Like,
yeah,
I would always like what they. I think what they did with hip hop is kind of why it is where it is today. So.
I mean, I'm an old dude. Like, Tupac and Biggie were big when I was young.
Yeah,
and actually what made me decide to marry my wife was the fact that she could rap every Biggie song out there. Like, she's a Snow White, man. And she was over there rapping. I met her and I'm a big rap fan, and she was rapping all the Biggie songs. I was like, okay, I'm gonna marry you.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. How does Ace Martin, last question for you, how do you decompress from football? What are some hobbies that you're into?
Big fisher. I like to play a little poker as well.
What's your game of choice?
Hold'em.
You like Hold'em?
Yeah, I'm a Hold'em girl. Kind of just like to chill, like just to chill and relax, you know. Just, I love sleep as well. You know, I don't know what college football player loves sleep.
Right.
Some other things. Love to play the video. Love to play the video game MLB the Show. If anybody like,
wants the to play, show,
yeah,
MLB
the
Show,
yes,
yeah.
If anybody, you know, wants to play, I'm always down to play the show. Play online a lot, so.
I love it. Hey, man, listen, Asa, it's been a pleasure, bro. And I've really been excited to actually get a chance to talk to you, man, after seeing you in the post-game stuff, being able to talk to you and getting you on this podcast was a goal of mine. So I really appreciate you joining me, man. And I am excited to see what you do this year because I know the talent level is absolutely there. And I know that all the stuff that you've been through and all the grind and the hustle that you've been through and you're continuing to hustle and grind and do all those things, man, this year is going to be a big year for you.
And yes, sir. I'm
praying for health for you, praying that, you know, all those things are that you just had the year that you deserve to have.
Yes, sir. I appreciate that, man. I'm looking to just go, you know, keep working my butt off, put it all together, you know, just go win some games and get back to the New Year's Six game and just have that nice experience. I really wish we could have like a 2019 kind of experience, but maybe even a little better. So me and the team, we're working pretty hard right now. We're definitely going to try to go get there.
All right, man. Have a great rest of your day, bro.
You too. I appreciate you, bro.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Tigers and 20 Off the Boards. If you enjoyed this episode, we would love for you to leave a rating and a comment wherever you download your podcast. If you are interested in daily content all about the University of Memphis athletic program, head over to www.gotigers247.com. Articles are published daily, and you can join the Go Tigers 247 family by signing up for a VIP membership for even more behind-the-scenes information.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.